Welcome back to the Profit Your Knowledge podcast. Today's guest is Jonathan Botset. Jonathan is a self-taught logo designer who has a passion for helping people find their path in life. We're talking a lot about freelance, Jonathan's experience with, you know, working with another company, creating kind of his own work out of the knowledge that he's had. Jonathan's a cool guest because he really believes that anyone can learn a new skill at any point in their life. And, follow a few simple principles and be able to like turn that into something that's actually creative and fulfilling. So really excited about this. And we were talking before we hit record that Jonathan has listened to a bunch of episodes of the podcast. So I was like, oh, that's so cool. And it's one of his top podcasts, which is super rad. So how are you doing today, Jonathan?
Yeah, doing great. Really excited to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, man, super excited about this. So I'd love to hear, you know, a bit about your story with freelance and this kind of stuff. What made you decide to start doing that and start pursuing like your own path of entrepreneurship rather than just staying in a normal job? What was kind of exciting about that?
Yeah. So in my full-time job, I get to work with small businesses every day on the retail side of things and helping them fulfill their inventory needs. And so in working with these people, you know, you really get to connect with them. You see what their needs are, what their how much of the business is their life. And I really just fell in love with helping people, you know, find their ideal career paths. And a lot of these people that have small businesses don't have the same kind of visual experience that I do. And they just have this idea for a type of business they want to run, but they don't know how to create a website. They don't know how to make a logo for themselves. And so it's been my passion to help them realize and create a brand identity that accurately represents their values, their level of service and excellence, and really just help take them to the next level where they might be on a shoestring budget. They might have limitations, but it's my goal to help them get to where they want to be.
Yeah. I love that, man. I'm curious, you know, and is there something, you know, in working with a lot of different small businesses, cause that's people who listen to this show. I mean, some people are much more established that I know do listen to the show. But when you're working with these different small businesses, what still surprises you about what they do? Is there like common threads where you're like, this happens all the time? And it's just like, it's still just like surprising that it's still a thing. Is there anything like that?
You know, I just am always surprised by the level of, you know, ingenuity and creative mindset that all these business owners have. You know, they all get their hands dirty. They all have to do a little bit of everything, and they wear so many hats. And I think that's what's really inspiring to me and why I prefer really to work with small businesses rather than large corporations for right now, just because I get inspired by what they do to every single day. And I don't necessarily know if there's like a common thread that I get surprised by in like a negative way, but I would say I'm always encouraged by the level of creativity that I see in them.
Yeah, that's really cool. I like it. So with design, how long would you say you've been doing like design work in and of itself?
I started teaching myself in the spring of 21 while my wife was pregnant with my son. And so I had a good probably 6 months to cram as much knowledge in before, you know, pre-baby as I could.
Sure.
And then my son was born in November, and I've, you know, just made it work since then. But yeah. I going on my third year now, which is just crazy. And I'm so proud of the amount of growth that I've had since then.
Yeah, it's crazy when you just kind of stick with it and just get a little bit better every day that you look back and are like, wow, this what seems elementary to me now was like this huge hurdle back in the day. So that was like me with video editing. I remember trying to learn it and I was just so stressed, and now it's just a breeze, no problem. So yeah, with design, it's really important, especially when people want to, you know, build a business. We want to any kind of small business, whether we're teaching our knowledge or we want to open up a gym or anything like that. Like marketing is a huge piece of it, and design falls hand in hand with marketing, a massive part. So when someone's thinking about, you know, building up their skills in design, they don't have to be a full blown designer. We have tools like Canva and stuff like now, but a designer has an eye that has to be trained over time. I think like anyone can use Canva and the tools, but designers have a certain kind of eye. But what skills do you think are most important for someone to focus on when they're getting started and upping their design skills?
You know, clarity of your message, simplicity. I think a lot of people just want to cram in as much information as they can into a 1x1 graphic for your social media post. And it's important to share information, but you also want to have you want to have a clear idea of what you want to say for each post. And not every single post has to share 10 different facts. You can just say, hey, this is a sale I have going on right now. This is a change we've made to our business. The important thing is just, continuous open communication with your customers and clear messaging. And you want them to walk away with one clear idea, rather than being having mixed messaging as far as what the big takeaway is.
Yeah. And, this is where I see it super prevalent with people I work with. I always recommend YouTube. I love YouTube. Thumbnails are a huge piece of YouTube. Massive. It's design. That's what it is. And people just cram so much into it, and they use like bad color schemes and things like that, and it doesn't make it pop. So I think that simplicity rules. And just when you said design in general, I love simple design. But especially when it comes to things like YouTube thumbnails and that kind of stuff, like it's massive just to develop those skills.
Yeah, and it's important to remember that you can always build on what you do, but especially when you're first starting off, you want to stick with what you know. And it's okay to not put on this persona of being an expert in the field, because I think a lot of times people enjoy vulnerability and they enjoy and appreciate honesty. And if you say, hey, look, this is where I'm at, join me on my journey while I learn and while I start this business. I think people really appreciate the authenticity that's behind those types of posts. And then they're more likely to buy into you because they see you as a person and not as this big corporate entity.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's great advice, because authenticity always wins, especially with so many people in the world teaching the same stuff. Like, I think the brands that are most authentic really win. Who comes to my mind in terms of YouTube stuff is Sam Sulek. Have you heard of him?
I have not.
So he's just like, he's taking over the internet and YouTube mostly on not just the fitness industry, but also with like the YouTube side of things and YouTube creators. He's a hot topic because he's insanely jacked. He's massive. I think he does like PEDs, performance enhancing drugs, but he's transparent about it, and he's not like hiding, being like, I'm all natural or anything. He just does it because he wants to be huge, and that's his thing. And it's pretty much like him driving in his car. Episodes are like 30 to 50 minutes,
Oh,
on
wow.
average. And it's driving in his car to the gym. He works out and then he drives home and maybe gets some food. And like, that's every piece of content, but he gets so many views in like 8 months of being on YouTube. He amassed 2 million views or 2 million subscribers, which is just
Wow.
bonkers for this type of content. And that's why he's really popular in the fitness space, because of his exercise methodology that he goes into, but also just the fact that he's massive. If you're jacked, you can go viral, basically. That's the rule of thumb now. But then with YouTube, people are just blown away by this because he has very minimal editing and he's just blowing up constantly. And it's because he's so raw and authentic that people just love it. There's so much like of this highly edited, crazy stuff, on the internet. It's if you know Mr. Beast, it's called beastification, but everyone's trying to like replicate Mr. Beast because he's blown up. And it's almost becoming like draining at this point, to where people are leaning more to this like really authentic type of brand that slows down a bit more, is more conversational. Because with J like Sam Sulek, and I've heard this from people who follow him, it's like you're just riding with Sam to the gym and you're kind of just hanging out with Sam, and that's what people look for, and it's like part of their routine to tune in to Sam.
And I think that's why podcasts are so popular as well, is because, when you're a listener to this, it feels like you're just a fly on the wall, like you're in the room with people, and people just want to feel like they're connecting. I think especially after COVID, we all just crave connection. And when you have that highly edited, filtered content, it just feels like there's a screen between you and the person that you're watching or you're listening to. But when it's imperfect, when it's raw, when it's there's not so many quick cuts, yeah, it feels like hey, maybe this could be me at some point. It feels like there's less of a gap between you and the person you're watching.
Yeah, absolutely. Really important stuff. So you mentioned something earlier about how you have, you know, you got your kiddos, you're doing your freelance stuff, and then you also work a job on the side as you're kind of building this stuff out. How do you manage your time and energy throughout the day with the kids and everything? I'm just curious because I know there's someone who listens to this podcast and I hope they land on this episode and they're like, this all sounds really cool, but how am I going to fit this into my schedule, into this thing, even if it's on the side, you know? How do you kind of manage that?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, if there are any single parents out there listening, I have such an incredible amount of respect for them. I have a 1-2-year-old son at this point, and I could not do what I do without the support of my wife, point blank. And so, you know, we take turns putting him down, and on the nights that she does, I can go in the office and I can do whatever work I need to do for, you know, an hour up to 3 hours if I want to stay up super late. You find time on your commute to listen to podcasts, and just consume knowledge from podcasts like this. I mean, honestly, like, you know, since connecting with you, this has become part of my routine, and, you just find whatever value you can. When you're on your lunch break, you know, instead of watching something on Netflix, watch an educational value on educational video on YouTube. It's about replacing a lot of what you think is entertainment, which is really just, you know, you're just tuning life out for a couple of minutes. It's escapism, and changing from escapism to education, and just, you know, not eliminating it, because everybody needs a little bit of relief sometimes, and it's fine tuning that balance. But whatever you feel comfortable doing and whatever you're able to do, find something that's convenient and an easy adjustment for you, and just slowly start working that in. So like I said, commutes were the easiest thing for me to change. I still have my go-to, but right now I love listening to Christo in the Future, Alex Hormozi, your podcast here. So those are kind of the big three business ones that I've kind of incorporated into my routine. And I still listen to Conan O'Brien. I listen to Smartless, you know, ones like that. So it's all about balance.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. I just took my dog on, it was like a 3.5 mile walk yesterday, and I had some headphones and I was just like going for my music app. And I'm like, it was early in the morning. So I was like, I'm just going to listen to a training that I've been wanting to revisit. So I turned it on. It was like an hour plus training. My walk was probably 45-ish minutes or so, 50 minutes. And I listened to that training for the majority of the walk. And then my brain was just kind of spongy, you know, like kind of soggy from all the absorbing of information. So I switched over to music. In the last little bit, I just listened to music. And it was nice and fun and relaxing. And yeah, I love that, just having that kind of balance. I think that as a general rule of thumb, like my coach tells me, he's always hitting home with us or in a group. He's like, do 1 hour of study every day and just prioritize that. I think even just 30 minutes to an hour every day. Yeah. It doesn't have to be an hour. And it can be spread out throughout the day or whatever. I've had some people who I've spoken with where they're like, I won't let myself listen to music or anything until I listen to a podcast, or until I read a book or do something. Like, that's priority. And it's kind of like waking up, working out first thing in the morning, just knock it out and then you're good. So yeah, commute, that's a great way. It's kind of what you do. You'll listen to something else instead of just music. And then on the way home, you can listen to music to kind of wind down too.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome. It's so cool that you, that this has become one of your go-to podcasts. I'm like, that's awesome. Super cool. Goals right there. Cool, man. So I'd love to know, you know, based on your career with design, you know, and even just thus far with doing freelance work and that kind of stuff, what's something that you wish someone would have told you early on about pursuing your own thing, about, you know, like entrepreneur, even if it's something on the side? What's something, some advice you wish you would have got early on?
You know, the biggest thing, I guess, two-parter for me. One, find a mentor. You know, invest in some kind of education from someone that's been in the field and make it consistent. I got connected with a teacher at a community college nearby that he and I would meet up once a week for an hour, and we would just go over work that I had done, and he would talk about the industry with me. And I think for someone that's switching industries or trying to make myself you know, more known in the industry, that's the biggest thing, is just getting real life experience and not just listening to podcasts, because, and that is definitely important, but there's no give and take in that. So to be able to ask questions that are specific to you, it feels like I'm getting like a bespoke education when I have a good mentor. And the other part is just don't be afraid to start imperfectly. For the longest time, I kind of hid what I was doing, and I just wanted to internalize it and practice on my own. But there is real value in discipline and just putting stuff out that, you know, is imperfect. And the social media presence that you have now does not have to be the same, that it does not have to look the same a year from now or 6 months from now. And I, like I said earlier, people value authenticity and the journey, and they want to see where you start at, because then they feel like, man, okay, well, he was here, but then I watched him grow year after year. And when people buy in, you know, they're willing to do anything for you at that point. They want to support mm-hmm. you because they value you as a person, and mm-hmm. they don't see you as just like this perfect entity. But that's taught me a lot about brand equity and what that means to me. And, you know, coming into something where I don't have any value to my name, but for a lot of people, I have value in my services. So leveraging that to say, you know what, look, so I went to the Chattanooga Zoo, the nearby zoo here in the area. And I went to them and I just said, you know what, I haven't done a ton in the industry right now, but I want to offer my services to you guys for free because I value what you do for me and my family. And if I can give back in some way, I would love to be a part of that. And because of the need that they had for high quality design, they said, yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. And we got connected. I ended up doing a ton of projects with them last year. And after a couple logos for them, they said, you know what, we really value your expertise and your work that you put into us. So we want to start paying you based off of what you've done for us. Wow. And I think when you pick the right organization and they see the value in what you're doing, it doesn't matter if you're volunteering at first or not, they're going to want to retain your services, whatever it takes.
Yeah. Yeah. There's something that I learned fairly recently. It was just, I mean, I've known it, but really just putting in the simple terms that, you know, if you want to grow your business of any kind, it comes down to two things. It's reputation and results. And mm-hmm. I'm always just thinking of those two words, reputation and results. A decision that I need to make or whatever, it's like reputation and results. Is it going to harm or, you know, expand my reputation? And that's what you were doing. You're building up this reputation that I do good work. And obviously you have to have something great to offer mm-hmm. instead of just like, can I work for you for free? And then, you know, kind of guinea pig people do that with like paid ads, you know?
Yeah.
And they just use somebody else's ad spend. And I think that's all messed up when they do that. But yeah, you had some skill set with design. You said, I know that there's things you can improve on that I can help you with this, and I just want to grow my skills. And that helped you build your reputation because you got them the result. And then they're like, we need to start paying you because you're worth it. So I think that's such a great lesson to hear. And I wish that I learned that early on, of just always thinking that reputation and results, because it's huge.
Yeah. And, you know, in that first email I sent to them, I had taken a picture in their gift shop of an ad sign that I liked, and I just thought the design was cool. So I said, all right, I'm going to give myself 30 minutes to recreate this. And I did. And that's what I sent to them in that initial email. So I could prove the value, not just based off of my words, but right. I gave them the parameters. Show them. I set. Yeah, exactly. And to me, it's like thinking if Rolex was to put out a skateboard tomorrow, their name is already synonymous with value. And so because if they broke into a completely different industry, people would still buy a skateboard from them because their name is synonymous with value. So if you don't have value associated with your name, you have to provide it with your services mm-hmm. and you have to give more than what you probably are worth initially or initially at least what you're asking for, because you need to prove yourself to people. And honestly, I believe in good karma. And if you're putting good out into the world and not really expecting a ton back, but just wanting to provide value, I think that's going to pay dividends in the long run.
Absolutely. Yeah. goodwill. That's huge. I love this whole topic, and I'm so happy that you shared all this, because it's huge. And it's like, really, there's a whole thing when you actually start working with clients, like, people get in the whole chase of, I want to get my next client. Where's the next client coming from? And then you get to a point where you start, and it's like, you need that in the beginning, because you have to start building up a client list or a roster. But when you start getting clients, people still stay in that habit, and then they don't put as much energy and attention and affection into their current clients. And there's some study that shows, I forgot the exact percentages, but bottom line, it's way easier to keep a client than to create a new one, because building the trust and where they can pay you or want to pay you, you know, if you're just going with a flat fee in the beginning, or getting paid for it, it's more challenging for them to make that decision, because they haven't yet built that trust with you. But when you've already done great work for them, like the zoo, they're like, oh yeah, we want to keep you around because you do a great job, you know, and it's proof's in the pudding. So yeah, that's huge. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I mean, and then those people that you are providing your great value for are more likely to refer you for somebody else. So if you consistently prove that you are willing to give to people and provide value, and you're not, and they don't feel like they're becoming like a secondary priority, kind of like what you mentioned, like if your real goal is bigger fish, everybody needs to feel like they're getting the same value and attention from you, no matter where you are in your career.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's huge. So we're going to end it on this one, and kind of come in for a landing here. But Jonathan, where can people learn more about the work that you're doing and get connected?
Yeah. So you can find me on my website, botsitdesigns.com. I'm on Instagram, LinkedIn. You can shoot me an email, botsitdesigns@gmail.com. And I would love to connect with you if you have any questions about, you know, finding your place in a new career path. I'd love to share any kind of experience or advice I can. Or if you feel like you just need some help kind of getting started visually with your brand, you know, I would love to just give you whatever help that I can and help get you started. And then we'll talk from there.
Awesome. Cool. We'll put links down in the description. For the listener, when it comes to your design work, obviously, you know, we keep things simple. We did talk about that, but I think the bigger message here is about, you know, freelancing, kind of getting your business off the ground, and the importance of, like we talked about in the end there, the reputation, the results. Jonathan had an amazing piece of advice that hopefully didn't go over your head, but it was about, if you send a message out to these people or this company, like, show your work. Alex Hormozi just did a post about that, which I don't know if you saw it, but he was talking about how he gets all these DMs, flooded with DMs, and people saying, can I just work with you? Because they want to rub shoulders with Alex Hormozi and be under him and see the inside world, you know? And he's like, you need me way more than I need you. Like,
oh yeah,
hands down. And he's just so blatant about it. It's like, it's true though. So, and he was saying literally the same thing of like, if you want to be an editor for someone, take their video and re-edit it and then send it to them and keep following up with them until you get a response of either, please don't send me any more, or, you know what, you've been persistent, I'm going to give you a shot. And then they see what happens, you know. But he talked about the same thing that you did about, and it's such great advice, like, show, don't tell. Because words are powerful, of course, you know, but showing the actual example makes a huge impact of like, here's how I redesigned your logo. You know, they can tangibly see it and be like, wow, that's way better than what we had before. So hopefully you got a lot of value from this episode. Jonathan, thanks for hanging out. Biggest thing for the listener is that you take something and that you actually do something with this. Implementation is your only superpower. So take what you learned here, get out there, make something happen. We'll see you in the next one.